Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday, July 12th, 2019. We're having a great Friday morning and enjoying the summer. And we pray for the folks down south. They are getting hit really hard already with tons of rain, especially in Louisiana and Mississippi. We'll have a full report in the news. Keep you updated on that. And don't forget to tune into EWTN News Nightly to find out the latest and to follow us on all of our different news outlets. Speaking of everything wonderful that EWTN does, Doug Keck is going to be joining me right after the break at about 15 minutes past the hour. If you're a new listener, Doug is the president and chief operating officer of the network, and he joins us every Friday with the inside word, giving you a little heads up, a little scoop, or inside word, as we say, on what's coming up on the network in the next few weeks. There's a big event on the West Coast that EWTN is going to be covering, and Doug will give us the details along with some of the other great programming that we have in store for you. Then I'm very excited to chat with professor, teacher, Marian expert Mark Miravalle on his new book, All About Beauty. It's from our friends at EWTN and Sophia Press, and this is right up my alley because I totally believe that one of the new ways that we have to evangelize is to have people see what's true, beautiful, and good. And that often happens when you're viewing nature, when you're viewing art, and specifically religious art, which is one of the reasons I began this new evangelization mission of mine called Travel Italy Expert. But anyway, this whole thing, because I've seen how lives are changed, how hearts are softened and melted and opened up to God and His glory. Because you can't help but ponder when you're standing in front of the Pietà or the Baldacchino or standing in front of that giant statue of St. Paul at St. Paul outside the walls or going to Israel and standing in the Holy Sepulchre or being on the Sea of Galilee and the beauty, God's beauty, or even in the Grand Canyon or anywhere in nature, that there's something bigger than us and that this didn't just happen all by circumstance. And that we're not just a bunch of atoms floating around. And so beauty is a way for us to connect with folks, especially in this extremely toxic culture that has pushed God out of virtually everything. So we'll talk about that with Mark Miravalle. And then I'm excited to have my girlfriend and wonderful award-winning writer and blogger, Patty Armstrong. Patty McGuire Armstrong. She has this really interesting article about an effort by a bishop down in Colombia using the sacramental of holy water to make a difference because of all the crime and evil things that are going on there. If you haven't heard about this, stay tuned for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, but I'll share that with you. It's really a neat story, and Patty's going to share it with us. And again, we'll share the link with you to the register as well. But it's just ncregister.com. You'll find it there, but we'll put it on our archive section. So it should be a dynamo show, thanks to my dynamic producer, Andrew, and all the great guests he always lines up. And we'll give you the phone number as we get closer to the break so you can make some calls and chat with either Doug, Mark, or Patty on a Friday morning. Right now, it's already about 3 minutes past the hour. A lot of news to get through, so let's do that right now before we take a break and speak with Doug Keck on a Friday. Well, an appeals court allowing a rule banning organizations receiving Title X family planning funds from co-locating with abortion facilities to go into effect. That means recipients must now maintain a physical and financial separation from facilities that perform abortions and can no longer refer patients for abortion services. This is a big pro-life victory, by the way. The National Weather Service, another big story we're following, issuing a hurricane warning now for parts of Louisiana's Gulf Coast as Tropical Storm Barry continues to gain strength. The National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham says rain, the biggest concern.
I repeat it quite a bit. I think it's worth saying it again. 90% of fatalities in these tropical systems is indeed the water, and that's the problem we're going to have once again.
Forecasters say Barry could become a hurricane by late Friday or early Saturday. Barry could drop as much as 20 to 25 inches of rain on parts of Louisiana over the next couple of days. The storm has already brought 6 to 7 inches of rain, which caused flooding in New Orleans. Now, Barry is expected to make landfall tomorrow. Meanwhile, that tropical storm already impacting travel in the Gulf of Mexico. Carnival Cruise Lines had to divert one of their big ships to Mobile, Alabama due to the hurricane watch along the coast of Louisiana. Kim Darnell was a passenger on the ship.
We didn't hit stormy weather real bad out there or anything. The captain did exactly what he thought was safe and best for his passengers.
The Carnival ship Valor was on its way to New Orleans with more than 3,000 passengers when the company decided to change course. The company says it is planning to bus the passengers from Mobile to New Orleans. Several airlines announcing they're offering travel waivers due to Barry. The National Weather Service again forecasting the storm to hit parts of the Gulf Coast with heavy rain, wind, and storm surge over the next several days. In other news this morning, a teacher at a Catholic school in South Carolina whose contract was not renewed because of her posts on Facebook in support of abortion, now suing the school claiming her First Amendment rights have been violated. According to the July 8th lawsuit, Elizabeth Cox, teaching at Bishop England High School in Charleston for 16 years before being informed at the end of last year, June 7th, that her contract would not be removed or renewed. Cox had shared on Facebook several posts and links expressing pro-choice views, while at the same time listing the Catholic school publicly as her employee. Live Action, a leading online pro-life organization, as Catholic News Agency explains, with more than 3 million followers, saying it is weighing its legal options after Pinterest removed its account and placed its content on a list with pornographic sites. That's an action that appears to be part of a pattern of censorship against pro-life perspectives by some leading social media platforms. Lila Rose, the founder and president of Live Action, said these large platforms have become our online or virtual public square, and to be banned from them is a form of censorship. The issue attracting board media interest last month after the investigative news site Project Veritas reported on Pinterest's suppression of Live Action. While two empty tombs are deepening the mystery of an Italian teen who disappeared more than 30 years ago. Emanuela Orlandi went missing at the Vatican back in 1983 when she was 15 years old. An anonymous tip pointing to the tombs of two European princesses who died back in the 19th century as a possible location for her body. Those tombs were unsealed yesterday, but the missing teen was not there. And here's another interesting thing in this story. Neither were the princesses. The Vatican is notifying the descendants of the princesses and says it will investigate. A controversial citizenship question will not be on the 2020 census, but as Mark Mayfield reports, President Trump is taking action to determine the number of citizens and non-citizens in the country.
I am hereby ordering every department and agency in the federal government to provide the Department of Commerce with all requested records regarding the number of citizens and non-citizens in our country.
The president says this method will determine citizenship for 90% of the people in the U.S. He said this information can be used by the Census Bureau to create the official census. He pointed out this will inform public policy decisions, including how elections are administered.
Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence visiting San Diego yesterday and taking questions about the nearby border with Mexico. He was in town to talk about Coast Guard drug seizures and raise money for the reelection campaign, but immigration politics dominated the press conference, Pence insisting the system simply cannot handle so many people.
And for the first time ever, the vast majority of people presenting at our border are families with vulnerable children. And the truth is, our system was simply never designed to accommodate what could this year well be over a million people coming across our border.
He said Congress needs to reform immigration laws and work with the president. He also believes that many immigrants are taking advantage of the nation's asylum laws. He said he grieves for immigrants who have died, but laying much of the blame on human trafficking. The vice president says the administration also is not tolerating cruel statements about immigrants allegedly made by Border Patrol agents on Facebook. The vice president heads to Texas today, where he plans to visit a border facility. The Pentagon looking at providing military escorts for oil tankers in the Persian Gulf. President Trump's nominee for chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, said Thursday the U.S. is working to put together a coalition to protect ships. His comments came a day after Iranian vessels were accused of trying to block a British oil tanker near the Strait of Hormuz. Billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, as Lisa G reports, his attorneys recommending a bail package worth $77 million, including his Upper East Side mansion.
The lawyers also feel Epstein's crimes are more like consumer or purchaser behavior and say he shouldn't be prosecuted under the sex trafficking statute. The 66-year-old hedge fund manager is currently being held without bail after his arrest last weekend on accusations he abused dozens of girls in his New York and Florida homes. He's due to appear in court Monday, where a judge will consider his bail request, but prosecutors say he's a flight risk and want him kept in jail pending a trial.
R&B singer R. Kelly reportedly under arrest on federal sex trafficking charges. He was arrested in Chicago, expected to be brought to New York City to face those charges. More details about the case expected to be announced later today. Earlier this year, Kelly was charged in Illinois on allegations he sexually abused four women. Three of those women underage at the time. He's pleading not guilty to those charges. And the ground beneath Western Washington rumbling this morning. Residents were jolted awake by a magnitude 4.7 earthquake that struck just before 3 a.m. local time. The U.S. Geological Survey saying the quake centered about 30 miles north of Seattle. It does not appear that it was strong enough, though, to cause any significant damage. And finally, in our news segment at almost 12 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning, July 12th, a turbulent day on Wall Street ending in the record books yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbing above 27,000 for the first time. The gains largely driven by expectations that the Fed will cut rates, insulating the market, and a trade battle with China. 12 minutes past the hour, and our phone number, if you're a new listener, jot it down. Feel free to call in with a question for our guests, and we allow you to do that every single day and hope you join in. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Catholic Connection is a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network along with EWTN. Find us both online. All kinds of great resources to keep you connected. EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. It is a Friday, and we'll be right back.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Always great to catch up with Doug Keck, Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN. You also see him hosting Father Spitzer's Universe and Bookmark. And Father Spitzer is incredible. I sat down with him and did an hour-long interview with him. I could talk to that man forever.
Yeah, me too. That's why I decided to do a show with him. I found it incredibly easy and enjoyable to be able to chat and talk with him and have a great time. And he's a great guy, and he's brilliant. And people seem to really enjoy him and enjoy the program. And I think what's nice about it, he's one of those people. There's a few out there who can really take high-end ideas, bring them down to a concept that people can understand, and also could deal with the tough questions that are out there from a scientific perspective and make one have confidence that your faith is totally pliable to the world of reason, and that faith and reason is the right intersection to live at, and that reason on its own is a very dangerous street.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of which, the West Coast, where he is, are you going to? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be at the big thing, your big dedication next week? This is a pretty big deal.
We've got Right, exactly. The event itself is on Wednesday. In fact, it's actually preempting our show. So that would be on Wednesday, the 17th at 1 p.m. We have a preview show, and then the event itself at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. But the night before, on on the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern, we've got a one-hour kind of preview, the whole background to how this came about, et cetera. You know, the idea that years ago, this was Robert Schuller's place, the Crystal Cathedral, well known to those from the 60s and certainly in the 70s, even into the 80s, and how it came about being, in a sense, taken over by the Catholic diocese out there and turned into a cathedral. It's been a project that's been in work for multiple years, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've got our studio out there, and Bishop Vann has been very supportive and welcoming of us to be there. So you'll see that. I know Father Spencer is going to show up on the preview show right before the event.
Oh, great.
On the 17th for a little while, and it'll basically be Brian Patrick and Matthew Bunsen and some guests. So people should check that out coming up on Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday afternoon they can look for those events and get a look inside the New Christ Cathedral and what they've been able to do to turn it into a Catholic sanctuary.
Yeah, usually it's the other way around. I mean, usually they're taking Catholic churches and turning them into, Protestant churches or whatever. And so this
or
is
bars,
a, yeah,
mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. So this is exciting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So I do have one question. Do you know if Bishop Vann is going to wear his Our Lady of Guadalupe boots? He's got the coolest boots. They have Our Lady of Guadalupe on them. They were a gift from some of his parishioners when he was down south. Yeah.
Well, see, you've got more information than I do, so I defer to your knowledge of what his particular accoutrements will be on that day. So,
well, he's a sweetheart, and I spoke at a Legatus meeting a couple of years ago in Dallas, and he was there, and we were chatting. Then I saw him in Rome. He didn't have the boots on in Rome when I saw him 2 years ago, but I said, Bishop Vann, and we went up to him, and I was reminding him about his boots. But they're really cool. They have a beautiful image of Our Lady.
Well, maybe a lot of us should be, I think, wearing Our Lady of Guadalupe boots. Especially in the world we're dealing with.
Oh my
today,
gosh.
We're going to need some high boots to deal with everything that's going on.
Amen. Amen. But that's why I'm so grateful for EWTN, because I know we can always turn to all the great resources, including, I did want to mention that CNA, mm-hmm. Catholic News Agency, did a great article on the address that Archbishop Chaput gave to Alliance Defending Freedom.
Absolutely,
recently.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I mentioned it before we came on that I actually read one of the great quotes in there about the secularists worshiping it. They worship, it's just a smaller altar and a more critical, so to speak, God. And that's the thing. People realize that the old Chesterton related line that's similar to the idea that it's not that people don't believe in anything, believe in nothing, they believe in anything. And that's the thing. And people need to understand that the secular perspective is just another form of religion. And
right.
People have to have something to fill that hole that's in them, as Augustine said. And if it's not Christ and his church, they'll find something else to stuff in there. And what's sad about it is Christ is all merciful. The secular gods are not merciful at all.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that the anger and the hatred being spewed at so many people who claim to be tolerant, and I was so disappointed and just disgusted, actually, as a woman, and thinking about my grandnieces growing up and thinking about my nieces watching the World Cup soccer, and you see the language, for just the language alone, of some of these women, especially the captain,
right,
and what they're saying and how they're attacking, and I don't want to get to the politics of it, but what kind of message? And she says, well, I'll go and talk to anybody who agrees with us. Oh, well, that's really tolerant, and that's really being a bridge, you know, in such a divisive world. I mean, this is what we're...
I didn't know that they got that they passed some political litmus test to play soccer.
Right.
I wonder what's going to happen when a couple of years from now, a couple of guys show up and say, well, you know, I used to be a man, but now I'm really kind of a woman, and I'd like to play on the soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? High-end soccer players of men are, you know, I know they used to say in tennis, I don't know if it's true, they'd say that the top 100 male players in the world could beat the top woman player in the world.
Yep.
That's just a function. And I know people who love the women's soccer, enjoy watching it and stuff, but who know soccer will tell you that the level of play between the men and the women is astronomically different. And, you know, there's lots of these things you just wonder. I think it goes back, Teresa, to all the things that we've always said. Why is it that the goal of equality is not that we help men act better? It's that women are allowed to act just as bad as men.
Badly as men.
So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's like saying, you know, the idea that I don't want you to stop the kid in the class from cheating. I just want to be able to cheat as well. I mean, is that the goal? It should have been, let's make it fair for everybody by stopping the ones who might have been cheating. Not to allow everybody to cheat. And unfortunately, we live in a society where we really reward really bad behavior. Some people will claim that about Donald Trump many times, that he's been rewarded that way. But in some ways, what he's done is he's not justifying it, but he's playing at the game that is going on many times on the other side with these kind of outrageous, and we're hearing it, more and more outrageous statements and things and people, you know, outdoing each other to be more and more radical against life, against on both, you know, abortion and infanticide and these ridiculous positions, and that people, you know, you scratch your head and go, you know, where did this all come from? You know, and it's kind of like some of the stuff that's gone on in the church recently, which we hear people scratch their heads likewise and say, well, where did this come from?
Right.
I didn't even know that this is an issue, and suddenly mm-hmm. we're talking about this as if this is the central core issue of the church.
Right, right. And getting back to this whole soccer thing, these women are going and they're representing the United States, they're wearing a USA uniform, and they come home and even to the point of disrespecting the flag, where the one would not, during the Pledge of Allegiance, would not put her hand over her heart. I mean, okay, so you want to play for the U.S. of A., and you want to claim that you're representing your country, then you come home and you diss your country in more ways than one. And the language...
Oh, that's the thing. I mean, it's just years ago, you know, there used to be some sense of decorum for everybody, which understood,
right,
regardless of your personal situation, when you're in official capacity of something or you're representing another organization, you have to act appropriately. And if you can't act appropriately, you shouldn't represent that organization. But that's not what we have today, because it's not about the team. It's all
it's about
the individual.
It's about me.
Right, and
right.
me, and me, and my pink hair or whatever color she had in her hair. And she might be the greatest soccer player in the world, but who cares? You know, at the end of the day, you know, what matters for people is, were you a good person? Did you care? And again, that idea, as you say, when you represent someone else, an organization, whether it be myself in helping to represent EWTN and Mother Angelica, it's my job to do the right thing, what's best for my position representing EWTN and Mother Angelica. Even if in some personal situations I might have some minor disagreements, or, gee, I wish I'd really like to act out, as we know, somebody said this against us and attacked us on that, or, oh, Mother Angelica, etc. You know, and you want to go and say that's not true, whatever, but you realize that's not the best Christian position for EWTN to take, or for us to represent Mother the way she would want to be represented. And so we have to do the right thing for the organization, or for the church in that case. And certainly these people should be doing the same thing, whether they're representing the country, their particular club, their particular organization, and stop worrying about, you know, how many likes they're going to get on Facebook, how many hits they're going to get on Twitter, how many late-night talk shows they'll be invited to, and a year from now nobody will remember their name.
Mm-hmm. And to me, if you have young girls in your home, or grandkids or nieces or grandnieces, And then they're using that kind of language. What kind of a statement does that make? Do you really want your young girls following that? I mean, okay, everybody has a right to their political opinion. We're not saying that. But there's, as you said, a time and place. And whatever happens, just basic, you know, professional decorum.
Well, absolutely. And the other fact is that many times you're dealing with people like this who are acting out this way as bad example who don't have children. And they don't have a situation, or if they have it and they're in a situation later where it's their child, suddenly they have a different perspective on how they need to be protected from this terrible speech. I mean, we're out there with all these people who aren't allowed to say anything, like, this phony tolerance thing out there, where we only tolerate the things we agree with, like, well, we'll go meet with people we agree with.
We agree with. She said that. Vote. Yeah. We'll extend a hand.
Did they take a vote or something on the team that this is who we agree with? Or is she the one who's driving the force? And, of course,
obviously,
it's cool to be anti-Trump in the media. And even if they believe that or don't believe it, that's not a counter-cultural position to take. That's a cultural position.
Right.
The media is totally with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very easy to do. Doug, thanks so much and appreciate the insight. And you'll hear more of this great insight by staying tuned to EWTN and all the great programming, including what Doug mentioned, EWTN.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. The claim of the Christian faith is that God has revealed himself to us by appearing in the form of a man in a particular time and in a particular place. He permitted people to observe him, watch his behavior, see him under pressure, and ask him controversial questions. Seen God around lately? But there was a time when he was around. The Word became flesh, says John, and dwelt among us. This is an astounding claim that no other religion has ever made. No fuller revelation of deity seems to be possible than for God to come in person and let persons see what he is like. Surely this is better than mere writings or the testimony of a prophet, for this is the incarnation of God and the greatest evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
The Catholic Catechism tells us that an evil end can corrupt an objectively good act. Our Lord pointed this out when he spoke of Pharisees praying and fasting, both objectively good acts, in order to be seen by men, a morally corrupt end which therefore corrupts all the actions. On the other hand, a good intention cannot justify an objectively evil action. One cannot turn fornication, a morally evil action in and of itself, by participating in it, even to save a life. Fornication is always wrong because it involves a disorder of the will, a moral evil. It is an error, the Catholic Catechism tells us, therefore, to judge an act merely by considering the intention that inspired it or the circumstances such as social pressure or emergency. The end never justifies the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Excited to talk with the son of Mark Mill Valley, John Mark Mill Valley. And I don't want to say that that's your claim to fame because you're a great writer and speaker in your own right, but your dad's amazing, and I so appreciate his work, and I'm sure you get that all the time. Anyway, so I just wanted to say as a shout out to your dad, who's awesome. But your book is just, I don't want to be corny, but it is really beautiful. The cover is gorgeous. Beauty,
isn't
what it
nice
is.
Cover?
Yeah, it's great. And why it matters. It's from our friends at Sophia Institute Press. I love this because this is what I'm working on as well in terms of a new mission I've started in hoping to bring more people over to the motherland, as I call it, Italy, in order to encounter God, even if they're not there on the faith page. So tell us about the book and why you wrote it, John Mark.
Yeah, just anecdotally, I mean, I do a lot of debate stuff and some philosophy, and some of the classes I teach in morals are pretty contentious and controversial. So I had to build a new elective, and I was thinking about doing the problem of evil, and I was biking to work. I work at Mount St. Mary's Seminary, and it's a really pretty bike ride, and I just thought, I cannot argue anymore. Dear
right.
God, I need a break. And it was a beautiful day, and I said, you know, I really don't understand the nature of beauty very profoundly. I'm going to do an elective on beauty. So I taught a class Seminarians on Beauty, and that the book came out of that.
So what did you learn, even though you're a very educated Catholic, what did you learn from a Catholic perspective about the importance of beauty that you're sharing with your readers in this book?
You know, I would say probably the main thing I felt I got out of it was this idea that beauty is a combination of order and surprise. And I felt like that helped me understand the temptations of a lot of modern life to pick either order or surprise. And so when you pick order without surprise, that becomes banality, that becomes repetitive, that becomes sort of bad traditionalism, because it's just stale and just doing the same thing over and over in a rut. But when you pick surprise without order, that becomes a disorder, and it becomes shock value, and then you go down the rabbit hole of perversion. And I feel like a lot of modern life is just bouncing from one to the other, from, let's say, feeling banality at work to feeling disorder when you're Netflix binging. And for me, beauty has sort of the way to integrate these two parts of human life. That was really helpful for me.
Yeah, absolutely. But you say in the book that you know, there's an old saying, and we've heard it a million times, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but you're saying it's not. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's two ways to talk about why we know beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. One is just to say that according to the tradition, you know, beauty and truth and goodness are all intrinsically equivalent. We just experience them differently. And so it's no surprise in a culture that says truth is relative and a culture that says goodness is relative, you also have a bunch of people saying beauty is relative. But we as Catholics know there's objective truth, we know there's objective goodness, and we know, therefore, that there's objective beauty. But also, once we sort of analyze these two ingredients in beauty, order and surprise, we can say, you know, no, there's objective order here. Things are operating the way they should be, and they don't have to, because God is free and we are free. So it's surprising. You know, this is a fundamental experience we have every time a kid takes a first step. We're thrilled. We go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, how are you surprised? Isn't this the way kids are supposed to be? Yes, but it's so beautiful. I'm surprised anyway. So giving people astonishment at the normal is how you get a sense of the objectivity of beauty.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because nothing gives me more pleasure than watching, and I see them. They live here in Michigan, but my two grandnieces, who are identical twins, and they're coming up on three, and my nephew and his wife post the videos, you know, every day, upload them, and so we can see them. And we just sit there and we watch them like for an hour each night before we go to bed, and they're just so hysterical. But they're not doing anything out of the norm. They're being typical three-year-olds, but it's so stinking cute, and it's amazing the way they interact and the way they talk now. But it's natural. And yet we're still
right.
Like, that is so amazing.
Right. When we can delight in things corresponding to their nature, then, holy cow, we are at peace with the world, we're at peace with God, we're at peace with ourselves, and it's fun. And that's what beauty offers.
Yeah, amen. We're talking with John Mark Maravalli, and no pun intended, but a really beautiful book, including the cover, which is gorgeous, Beauty. What it is and why it matters. And I think what's really interesting about this is you approach also something that has always frustrated me, some of the different types of art that I just don't see, and maybe I'm wrong, but as beautiful. Some of this art compared to what we see, for example, if you go to Italy or Israel or go to an art museum and see these amazing masterpieces and you compare it to some of these other things and you're like, huh? So you actually talk about this and how to determine whether an artwork is truly beautiful.
Yeah, and again, I would say if the artist, which is what's happening so much in sort of what counts as high-class elitist art, if the artist is simply indulging in disorder for its own sake, that's just not beautiful. It may be shocking, it may be provocative, but it's only half of what you need for beauty, and that is the surprise part. And that, of course, is where we get all the lunacy in particularly music and the visual arts over the last 100 years. And what's really fascinating about this, too, I would suggest, and this is in the book Beauty, is because so much of art has cut itself off from ultimate issues, and particularly mm-hmm. from the divine, it's made itself irrelevant. So I compare these two stories. One is in Siena, when Duccio completed his Maestà of the Virgin for the main church there, the whole city shut down, and all the people got in a procession behind the artwork. So here you had high art that everyone appreciated. Compare that now with what counts as high art in the art world. Your average person has no idea what it's about or why they should care and has no interest in it. So only when art returns to its basic purpose of connecting us to the transcendent is it going to be relevant again.
Did we see a glimmer of hope in the reaction when the fire hit Notre Dame Cathedral earlier this year? Because some people who walked by that so many times, who shrugged their shoulders and kind of took it for granted, never thought much about it, that people, a lot of fallen away Catholics in that part of the world, all of a sudden gathered around and hundreds of millions of dollars are raised almost instantaneously to restore the cathedral to what it was before. Did you see a glimmer of hope in that in terms of understanding beauty?
Yeah, I would say more broadly, I think that there's always a glimmer of hope in that no matter how bad we get, the soul can't not be drawn to beauty. And
right.
So I'm a little nervous because other Gothic churches, when they've been renovated, have been renovated according to post-Christian aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my fingers crossed that they're going to make Notre Dame beautiful again, and not just make it a major landmark, which, as I say, has happened to some other Gothic churches. But absolutely, absolutely. Anytime we can get behind this, because as you know from St. Peter's, I mean, right. I myself personally, I think know five people who have converted by going into St. Peter's.
Exactly, exactly.
They walk in the building, they stick their heads straight up for 2 hours, they walk out, and they say, I want more of this.
I want this. Yeah.
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 So it's indispensable as a mechanism of evangelization. And if real quick, I think the Gospel of Matthew shows our Lord using beauty as a mechanism for evangelization because he begins by preaching the truth, then he works a ton of miracles, so he does the good, but the Pharisees call him Satan, and then he switches to parable so that he can give beautiful images that will more slowly enter into the system.
Talking with John Mark Miravalle on his book, Beauty, What Is It and Why It Matters. More with John Mark when we come back. If you have a question, 877-573-7825 on a Friday. Stay tuned.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God. And so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio. Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary in our cathedral.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We're having a great conversation about beauty and why it matters. Actually, the title of John Mark L. Miravalle's latest book, and it's published by Sophia Institute Press. And I can't say enough about the importance of helping people appreciate this. And you and I were talking during the break about people we know who've either reverted or converted because of what they've seen. And we've had so many stories on pilgrimage. I was telling you during the break of folks who have just been in awe of what they've seen. And maybe it doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. But maybe they get home and they are just so blown away by the beauty that it just affects them and it just wears them down. And they're like, Uncle, okay, you are so God. I am so not.
Yes, and even for people confirming their faith, though, there's a famous
right.
story that Benedict the 16th told about himself and I think the Lutheran bishop, and they went to a concert together, and they just turned to each other and they said, God must exist. And here's what beauty shows, right? It shows if there is order in the universe, it shows that the universe comes from someone intelligent. And if there is surprise in the universe, if things are, but they don't have to be the way they are, that shows that there's something free at the mm-hmm. foundations of the universe. Mm-hmm. So beauty shows the personal substrate. It shows that God is behind it all.
Yeah, I don't understand. Even if you're falling away, or you're not really a hardcore atheist, or just you're not there, okay? How you could just say that everything just happened and not give it some thought? You know what I pray, John Mark, every time I go to Italy and lead a pilgrimage, or go there for whatever reason, covering something, or had the privilege of being there many times, and I see the lines outside the Vatican museums. Around all the way, you know, down and around, and practically
yeah.
all the way over to the Via della Conciliazione, going into the museums. I'm not talking even about St. Peter's, because there's two sure. different entrances. I pray for those people, because we know not all of them are there for religious reasons. A lot of them are art students. A lot of them are college students. A lot of them are people who just have, you know, the Vatican artwork on their bucket list. But my prayer is that they will encounter God when they go through there. That's my prayer.
I hope so. And that's Walker Percy makes a great point. He says that it used to be that the two fields that governed existence were theology and philosophy. And theology told you about the supernatural, and philosophy told you about the natural. When those were dethroned by the Enlightenment, science took the place of philosophy, and art took the place of theology. So science is still sort of hopefully people's way to looking at the nature of nature and what lies behind it. But art is hopefully still the avenue to her former mistress, which is an understanding of God.
Hmm. So for whom did you write the book when you were sitting down to write this?
That's a good question. Really, I wrote, in this case, I just wrote lecture outlines for my students at the seminary. And then I took not very long and just turned the lectures into chapters. So I think I'm mostly a public speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of tried to keep my voice in it and keep it, but hopefully keep it the accessible and intuitive structure of the outline.
Isn't it so refreshing, though, when you go to encourage other people? And our faith is so rich, and the art that goes along with it over the centuries, that the gifts that we have, that we've given to the world through art and through the countless basilicas and everything that we have available to everyone who wants to see them, not just Catholics. Isn't it encouraging and eye-opening, because you always find out something new? We could study this forever, whether it's art, whether it's theology, from our Catholic faith, and we're just beginning to dip our toes into it.
Yeah, and that's very important. So when I was first developing these ideas, I told my wife that I thought beauty was a combination of order and surprise, and my wife is very critical, which is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, what do you mean by order? I said, you know, order, it makes things predictable. She said, well, if it makes things predictable, that means it's unsurprising, so order and surprise can't go together. So my wife is very helpful in crushing my ideas that way.
Does she know my husband? Because he does the same thing.
So I went to my office and I cried a little bit, and then I thought about it a little more. And I realized that, to your point, it's only a superficial familiarity with things that makes them boring. But people who know a lot about something are the ones who are continually surprised by it. I don't know much about baseball, so I'm never surprised by a baseball game. But baseball fans are constantly surprised. I do love chess. I'm always surprised by chess. Because when you see the natures of things, you see that there's always deeper levels of order to be surprised with. So, to your point, learning about our faith, even if we think we've got a pretty good handle on it, the only way to continually be delighted is to be surprised by it by studying it more deeply.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that starts people on their journey to discover it and to want to know more is when they go, and as you said, and we were talking during the break, sticking their head inside St. Peter's and just, you know, being totally blown away. John Mark, thank you so much. All the best with this book. I really think it's so important and so appreciated, and really, really hope this catches on in terms of people revisiting beauty and what it really means. John Mark Miravalle, Professor of Systematic and Moral Theology at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland, joining us today in his latest book, Beauty, and it's from our friends at Sophia Institute Press. Mark, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Thanks,
John Mark,
so
I should say. I keep calling you Mark. I'm sorry.
No problem. That's part of my name, too.
Okay. Right, God bless. And we'll talk soon. Up next, Patty McGuire Armstrong joining us on a fascinating story about one bishop says, enough, I've got to do something. And he's actually doing something pretty interesting and really taking advantage and, I think, making a big statement about the use of sacramentals. More on that coming up. Patty McGuire Armstrong. And we'll give you a link to her report in the Register. Stay tuned.
The EWTN home video highlight for July is The Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. This beautiful new rendition of the beloved devotional was shot on location at the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Enjoy five versions of this invocation of trust in our Lord. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com. Maybe you saw this really interesting story written by Patty McGuire Armstrong, posted on July 9th on the National Catholic Register, ncregister.com. Patty is a blogger and a writer for the Register, a number of other Catholic publications, the recent award winner, as you may have heard last week. She won a big award from the Catholic Press Association. Patty, this story, I think, is important in so many ways. And the headline reads, Exorcism Over Colombian City Set for This Weekend. So it's about to happen, and I think you said during the break you're going to do a follow-up. What I'm really hoping, as I said in the introduction of the program this morning, that in addition, obviously, we want to pray for the city and pray for the religious leaders doing this, but I'm really hoping this brings a renewed interest to sacramentals and the importance of sacramentals. So tell us what's happening in Colombia this weekend.
This weekend, the bishop enlisted the armies. The army is going to let him use a helicopter. He is going to spray holy water over the city. Now, I don't know if I can pronounce it correctly. It's a city in Colombia where the drug lords have kind of taken over and the murder rate has skyrocketed. It has a population of 333,000 and 55 homicides were recorded in the first 5 months of 2019. Now, that compares with 20 in the same period last year, so it's more than doubled. And it really, it's a very poverty-stricken area, and it's on the coast, and so it really has become a big drug trade area, especially for bringing drugs into the United States. And so the bishop of that area feels like he needs to do something, and he's going to pray a prayer against infestation. Now, it's being called an exorcism prayer, and it actually is. It's a minor exorcism prayer, which isn't the same as when somebody's possessed and you're exorcising them. So this is when Satan has taken over an area. I interviewed Monsignor Essef for the article, and he's one of the, he may be the country's oldest exorcist. He's been one for over 40 years. He's 91 years old, and he's done these kind of exorcisms before. And he says he does them in an area where people are reporting demonic activity, odd things. And he'll investigate first. Or if it has a history of violence. You know, he's gone to places where, for instance, there was a slaughter of Indians during the time of early America. Or places where there's been a murder. And he will do a prayer against infestation where... And obviously, there's evil in this area, and so the bishop is going to fight it head on.
Mm. Now, what did Monsignor say in response to this effort? I think he was pretty excited about it, right?
Yes, he was very excited. He said, when I told him about it, he said, oh, it does my heart good.
Aww.
He also said, let me get this straight. I'm quoting him. The devil knows authority. When the authority of the church shows up, he has no choice but to respect it, because it is the power of God in the name of God the Father, in the name of Jesus his Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. That power is what drives out the devil.
So in terms of the holy water, why not just go up in a helicopter, and maybe you ask this to Monsignor, and just pray over the city, or go up to a mountain and pray over the city? Why? I think it's really, I think, significant. And I know my favorite saint, St. Teresa of Avila, used holy water and took it very, very seriously.
Right. I'm glad you asked that. And I know you know the answer, too. But what Monsignor would say is, you know, exorcists always use holy water. It's a sacramental. And there are people who have been possessed and are no longer who will testify to the fact that they could tell if something had been blessed, such as holy water. And exorcists will tell you a person who is possessed will react to holy water. You can sprinkle them with regular water, and they will, there will be no reaction. You sprinkle them with holy water, and they react, often violently. They're repelled by it. They're afraid of it, because the blessing that the priest puts on the holy water is extended to wherever you put that holy water. That's why it's so powerful and why we bless ourselves as we enter church. Now, it is a reminder of our baptism, too, but it actually has some power attached to it to drive out evil.
I look at a quote here from St. Teresa of Avila. From long experience, I have learned there is nothing like holy water to put devils to flight and prevent them from coming back again.
And that's one of the things, whenever I interview an exorcist and I write on a topic like this, nobody, two things. First of all, don't be overly curious. Yeah, it is interesting. You know, the supernatural is interesting, and it's okay to be interested. I'm interested. You're interested. But don't be unduly curious that you're getting involved, and don't be afraid that if holy water can drive out evil, what do we have to be afraid of? And, you know, just the power of Jesus is so much greater. God is the creator. He created everything, including the devil, who is a fallen angel. But this is not a war between equals. If you go to the movies and you like horror movies, there's always a battle that ensues, and it's very intense, and you feel like, oh, who's going to win? We don't know. Well, we know that God always wins, and it's not even really a contest. So as Catholics and even Christians, you know, you need to stay close to the Lord, and you need to pray, and that puts the devil, that scares him, and he's already running. However, for Catholics, we have the fullness of faith. So we have our sacraments. We can stay close to the sacraments. And we have sacramentals, such as blessed medals, the scapular, and holy water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I'm really hoping, and it sounds like this is happening from your article, that the bishop is doing some interviews on secular radio and getting the word out again. And this was on the secular wire that we use at Ave Maria to do our news. So this is not just making news in the Catholic world, but it's making news in the secular world.
It is. And so there's two things about this article making such big news. And that's why whenever I interview an exorcist, if I do an article on something, you know, it's going to get a certain amount of play. You interview an exorcist, and a lot of the secular media will pick up those stories because they're fascinated by it. And so what a lot of people are hoping, including Monsignor Assaf, is that other bishops will do the same thing. He says, you know, the bishops have a lot of power. They're the ones that decide if it's going to be an exorcism or not. And he says that they have a lot of power, and that them fighting evil head on like this and doing this type of exorcism against infestation is going to have a lot of power, and it's going to make a difference. And it also does, like Monsignor Assaf said, it does my heart good. Well, it does everybody's heart good.
Right.
To see our leaders coming right out and publicly fighting evil. Now, something that people need to keep in mind is that a lot of times priests who have the permission of their bishop and bishops don't always go public with this sort of thing. And there's some good reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we don't know what our bishops and priests are necessarily doing. Just because they're not announcing it doesn't mean they're not doing it.
Exactly.
Monsignor's hoping that they will, that they'll take this idea, take a hint and say, hey, we need to all be doing this, and the devil will take flight. But years ago, Bishop Papraki in Illinois exorcised the state house when they passed same-sex marriage. Well, all hell broke loose, literally. And another exorcist I know in California, who used to go public and doesn't anymore because of the strong backlash, including TV cameras showing up in his church, that he was even getting phone calls about Bishop Papraki way back in Illinois.
Patty, we're out of time. We have to have you back on to finish this and also to find out how this goes this weekend. NCRegister.com. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you on a Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.